to our next piece. Colm O'Regan, the comedian, is bringing his new one-man show, Climate Warrior, to Listowel next month, and he joins me on the line now. Colm, very good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining me on the show today.
No problem at all, Mark. Delighted to be there. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. So, first of all, what can people expect from this show, The Climate Warrior, without giving away all your best jokes now, Colm, just a brief summary.
Just give me my worst jokes to start off with, and it'll be better than that. Yeah, it's a show about, the kind of, with all the bad news about the environment and climate and nature and all this kind of thing, I can get a bit overwhelmed. So this is a show about finding the funny in trying to be slightly greener or making an attempt and even acknowledging that we're all doing our best and coming together. So it's the way you'd be watching stuff about the environment and you see inspirational people, brave people doing things. This is a show about how even cowards and hypocrites like me can do a bit as well too, because, even those people you're talking about earlier, the people of the high vis picking up rubbish along the road, like, they're the kind of heroes that I have great time for. So it's about what the ordinary people can do and how and the humour you can find in that as well.
Brilliant. And is this coming off the back of the book, your book of the same name, is it, Climate Warrior?
The same name. Yeah, I mean, in the best interest of reduce, reuse, recycle. But the book might as well make a show out of it as well too. So
they can add repurpose to that, do you think, Colm?
Exactly, repurpose. So it'll look completely different, but some of the underlying plastic might be the same if you look hard.
And how have you found the reaction to that book in terms of people, I suppose, recognising that, we're all kind of in this together, even if we're all maybe a small bit clueless about it?
Well, the most heartening stuff, so a couple of different reactions. One is people who work in this area, the ecologists or the bird watchers or the people who work for the council trying to figure out, impact assessments or all the kind of, not glamorous work that's involved in this, and often thankless, and farmers and all sorts of people. I think what they like about talking about this in a humorous way is that it's a break from the despair of it, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a way of connecting people. Like, some of the nicest stuff, like a farmer sent me a message saying he listened to the audiobook while milking the cows, so that was always great, because basically you get people from different walks of life liking it. It's particularly, if you work in this area, it can be all bad news, and sometimes to even just hear about the bad news in a funny way, or hear about that everybody is thinking the same, getting a little bit down about it, I think it's about trying to bring people together. We've more in common than they have separating us, and one thing we do have in common is sometimes you try something, you make an absolute bags of it, but you keep going, and I'm sure all those people, talking about on the road, the Tralee road, picking up rubbish, they have good days and bad, but they're still there, and keeping on going at this. And that's kind of what it's about as well, because, there are lots of different jobs in trying to do stuff for the environment. And sometimes those jobs involve just sending spreadsheets or emails, And they can feel like, oh, what is the point? But people still keep going. And sometimes as a comedian, my job is to make them laugh while they're doing it.
And I think that's a really important part that you touch on as well, because there's so much, I despair to use the word content, but it is, I suppose everything is content. There's so much content that's polarizing as well, and it's divisive and deliberately so sometimes. Yeah. So it's nice to have something that, something that's, I suppose, uniting rather than that. That's something that's acknowledging that, why don't we actually just have a go at this together instead?
Well, exactly. Like, there are some views of which you simply decided one thing and the other, right? And but then there are other things where we have things in common. And we'll eventually have to fix all the things, the thorny issues, but we could start by working out the things that we have in common. I'll give you an example. Like, just, I pick up rubbish in the local area, and we pick it up, and I'm sure there are people that I pick up rubbish with who have completely different views on other aspects of all of this. But there's one thing that if you sat down and worked with somebody, and if you've picked a bag of dog poo hanging off a tree, that's a bonding experience that you won't forget. Like, you're better able to have a chat with them about something you fundamentally disagree on than if you hadn't spent that time. If you'd only spent time shouting at people online, you've nothing in common with them. You put them in the other tribe, and you start assuming things about them that mightn't be true at all. So, I'm going to a live event. I'm not saying everybody's going to be dancing. I'm not saying the It's not like Oklahoma, the farmer and the cowman should be friends and they all be dancing in a musical number at the end. But like shared experience is huge, like in a time when a lot of us are kind of hiding behind keyboards or commenting on Facebook and then getting into arguments. Do you ever go onto Facebook? And Facebook is set up in such a way that you don't even know which comments you're replying to. So people are getting into arguments even the way they agree. Like everything is gamed towards us shouting at each other because that's where the money is in social media. Social media doesn't want us to be enjoying ourselves together. It wants arguments because that's what we're built for. Mm. That's what we kind of, you know, we like to look for the poison berries. So shared experience of going to a show and laughing at the same thing, even coming at from different points of view, I think is valuable. It's an hour. I think the worst ways of spending an hour is sort of my kind of philosophy on it. And laughter does kind of open up the brain path to different views and all that kind of thing. I mean, I would say that. I'm trying to sell tickets for it. But, you know, that's my amateur psychology on it anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you might not be putting that in the poster anytime soon. Worse ways to spend an hour than going to this. But does it make it difficult for you, Colin, to make this into kind of a topic of comedy when there's a certain section of society maybe that fails to acknowledge that there is a crisis with climate or that this climate crisis exists in the first place?
Well, yeah. Like in any given population, I suppose there's people at extreme ends who just simply don't want to, don't believe it or think it's all a big scam or whatever. I'm just not going to waste time talking to them. There's a huge population watch. You know, when you're watching an argument, and there's between two different people, you may sometimes make up your mind, not necessarily whether they have a better argument, is that who's coming across, who do you like more? Mm. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes, like there's certain groups of people, I don't know. I don't have time to try and convince people who are so set in their ways that because it's better off having a laugh with people who are open to new ideas or open to at least having a look at an issue. And then as regards trying to make something funny, you know yourself, like serious topics don't mean you can't laugh about them because we laugh at death. You know, it's about how we talk about them and whether it's a sort of an inclusive thing and not a sneery way. So it's about, that's why I focus on my own personal failings, hypocrisies and total cowardice as a way of bringing people together because nobody likes listening to somebody who's great at everything.
And I was going to ask that as well, is, you know, there's maybe most people acknowledge that there is a crisis of some description. A lot of people not necessarily that bothered about changing things the way they do things as well. Was it a worry when you were writing this show that it might straddle the line of lecturing or straddle the line of kind of, as you say, sneering or being on a higher horse?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's very tempting because if you're doing your recycling and somebody next door isn't, like, furious at them, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to all this effort and you're not, and it doesn't seem to be any consequences. And that's a natural kind of human thing. So, yeah, you have to kind of restrain yourself. There's plenty of judgment out there. Plenty of people paid to do that. So it's more about destigmatizing, giving something a go. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And letting people know that doing the right thing isn't nerdy or goody two-shoes, that it actually can be a fun and enjoyable thing to do as well. Like I talk about, you know, the crack you have with buying stuff secondhand. Like, it's far more interesting buying something secondhand, going out and meeting somebody halfway out the road to hand over a secondhand yoke than just going to a shop, tapping your card and beeping and driving away, you know. So it's sort of it's about trying to find the areas where it's actually more sociable and enjoyable to try something rather than, oh, what a pain, what a burden this is. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, there's a bit of extra effort required to change the way we've always been doing it. So you got to try and find where it's enjoyable. Mm.
And as I suppose, in general, in comedy, you know, picking one singular topic and making a whole show about it is fairly unique. It's not really the done thing. You know, it's kind of a move away from the whole "guess what happened to me last week" kind of, I suppose, trope, or, you know, interacting with the crowd and that kind of stuff. Is that a deliberate move that you were like, I want to take on this topic and I want to make it accessible and funny and just focus on that?
Yeah, I suppose it is. I mean, the good thing about doing an hour's comedy on a particular topic is you kind of get a bit of space to see it through to some sort of conclusion, which makes all the little bits make sense that came to it. You know, it allows you to write more of a story, but you still have to have jokes along the way. So this isn't like, hey, here's some funny 5 minutes, now 45 minutes of facts about dead seabirds, and then 5 minutes of crack at the end. It's like, it's, you write jokes all the way through, but they, it can be nice because jokes that you didn't think had a point, they can kind of slot in a nice way. And it's like any book, you know, sometimes you don't know what all the bits mean until you get to the end. Then you come back and kind of buff them all up and make them a nice arc. So an hour on a particular topic is, it has opportunities as well as challenges. But the first job is to be funny for an hour, as far as I'm concerned, because then it's fall sales if you get them in saying it's comedy and then it's a lecture in the middle. So that's sort of, that's the challenge that the hour presents, and that's why I try to keep it funny all the way through.
Yeah, excellent. Have you played in the Kingdom before, Colm, or have you played Listowel before?
Listowel is a Writers' Week. I did when I had my Anne Devine novels, I was there for Writers' Week, I think in March 2019. When's the Writers' Week? That's in, my gig's in March. It's in the summer, isn't it?
Early June. Yeah, yeah.
I was there for one show in Listowel about 3 or 4 years ago. Loved it. I love talking about books, and particularly if the person interviewing me has read the book, which they had, which I always appreciate. But then it becomes less.
What are you hinting at, Colm?
You'd be surprised where you turn up and they'd be like, I've just got the first 10 pages written. What happens in the rest of it? So for play to Listowel, they know how to interview writers. And it was great fun. Lovely, lovely crowd. A crowd that loves reading is a great crowd to chat to as
Brilliant.
Well. Because you can do a bit of wax lyrical. And say, you know, of course, I'm talking about myself anyway, which is an amazing topic to talk about.
Well,
shut me up, I'd say, is probably the challenge.
Well, you're speaking of reading as well, Colm, you're a columnist with the Irish Examiner, and your most recent piece was about the history of Valentine's Day. Maybe tickets to your show could be the perfect present for anyone who was unaware that it was this week, or perhaps doesn't know what to get their significant other.
Yeah, it's very much, I'd say if they got tickets now for my show, they'd be like, oh, all the thought you put into that. This has really cemented us and my relationship has brought us closer together. That's exactly what I think the reaction would be if people got tickets for this for Valentine's Day. And more sustainable than flowers that have been transported halfway across the world as well, too. But that's fine, too. Not judging anyone at all for any of their... And there's not too much packaging. And again, tickets are very little packaging.
Brilliant stuff. We'll leave it there, Colm. We'll have details on how to get tickets for that as well on our website. But thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it. Thank you. That is Colm O'Regan. He's bringing his show Climate Warrior to Listowel, to St. John's Theatre on March 23rd.